on then. Fucking stitch me up.
What are you talking
about? Now you know what I'm talking about. Well, intro.
We're sponsored by C4 today.
Yeah, we are.
Go on then. Crack on.
We haven't done the intro again.
What? Oh, hello everybody. Welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast.
That's what I'm saying. It's important. Now everyone knows we're ready to go.
Is it? Look at the filth on this table.
What is that?
This chocolate and this...
Is it?
Stuff.
Green stuff.
Nothing to do with me.
So yes, we are sponsored in part by C4 Energy.
Yep.
Again, we're developing a really nice relationship with them. They are jumping on quite a few of our products. They've
Love
jumped
it.
On Viand. If you haven't watched Viand, go and watch that. They jumped on that. Yeah, you have to. And then obviously they're jumping on the Picks podcast. We're getting there with them. It's going good. We're cultivating something long term with them. Hopefully, yeah.
This is the one.
Yeah,
this is
your favorite, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I've almost completely abandoned coffee now.
Wow.
It takes effort to make.
When I come around here, I'm like, I don't want to, like, I'm like, oh, do you want a drink? I'm like, a cup of tea is like nothing, is it? Do you know what I mean? Making a coffee, that's
it's a mission, isn't it?
May as well.
Well, because I've got that special kettle that's got the 200 degree marker on it. Like, and, you know, I can actually hear when the kettle's boiling at the right point now. But like I said, it takes me 15 minutes to make it in the morning. I want to be in the gym by that point. Yeah.
So this is your
favorite.
Grab
one of them. Yep.
This, for sure, the bright colors seem to attract the chimps up at the gym. So that is for sure their favorite colors. Sour apple goes down very
Jimmy
well.
Warlead has started using that as cologne.
Yeah, no
he's,
doubt.
He's rubbing it under his arms.
No doubt.
He's...
If you cut him, not then I can damage him enough to cut him.
I don't
but
think...
C4 would seep out of it if you did.
I'm amazed that they were able to get a tattoo needle through his skin.
Yeah,
to put all that ink into him.
Amazing, isn't it? He's got some belters as well, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole different podcast. We're bringing it up tomorrow.
Mate.
We're filming Jimmy and Josh's Nines and Lions tomorrow.
Brilliant. We need to do a fight ink with Jimmy Warlead.
Yeah. Explain this. Explain Billy Connolly. Go on. Off you go. Oh. Sorry, bro. I love you. We are sponsored by C4. Once again, if you want to get 30% off, use the code FULLREPTILE at c4energy.com. Apologies, it is US based only. UK followers, we haven't got that far. We are working on something, but I'm not sure at this stage that you'll be able to use that code. If you're listening and you're in the US, 30% off with the code FULLREPTILE at c4energy.com. Pretty significant discount. Go get it. We have a second sponsor, our long-term friends and favourites were my favourites, but they definitely stitched me up in some way. I have insider information that something is going on. We weren't to open this until
I didn't get that message. I didn't get that message to not open it, but fortunately the package was for me, seeing as the fact that
it was in your name as well.
What do you mean it was in my name?
Because they normally put it in my name.
Oh, mate. Of course it wasn't in your name.
No. So if this is the first time you tune in, the long-standing joke is Marino
fact,
Wool.
It's a long-standing fact.
It's a long-standing joke that Unbound Marino send us loads of unbelievable, wicked gear, and Dan pretends that I steal it all, even though we're not the same size.
I don't.
And then he has none left.
Look, you can go back into all of the previous podcasts and you can see full well that I am wearing a blue t-shirt and a black hoodie. And you'll also notice, well, you won't notice, but Ollie's got three pairs of socks on per foot.
No.
And every layer's merino wool.
Now, I know you're lying.
He starts complaining about how hot it is in here and I've got some kind of heat button and he's got four shirts on underneath.
I've got two layers on because I have to layer here because I never know what the temperature's going to be like.
He has to layer, but he goes, he's a medium. And he can get two mediums on top of one another, but he can't go three mediums deep. So he has to steal a large. See?
No way.
I've never seen a green shirt like that before.
Yeah, I know, but they came.
Have you got
You've
a medium and a large
somewhere.
In that? I haven't.
No, I don't have any larges.
Well, anyway.
My large days were about 9 years ago. I'm definitely a medium now.
Well, they've done this for me.
Look
which
at that.
Not only are you going to be really jealous about, it is beautiful.
Yeah, no shit.
The colour and everything. But also... Just to make sure get mixed up.
Oh,
it says...
I knew it was going to...
It's another Ollie!
Wow. Yeah. I bet there's not a medium in that package either, is there?
Not one. No.
Angel, I'm coming for you, bro.
I'm wearing this one on the wall.
Look how many you've got.
Just one of
they
each.
All got Not For Ollie on the back?
Both of them have.
Have they?
Yeah.
That's outrageous. My new
favorite items of clothing. Mate, I mean, unbelievable. I wore this on the war room when I recorded it. Look at that. Oh, I mean,
did you? That makes sense now. Yeah,
that's why I've had to hold it back so you can't see it, right? Look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
Not for Ollie on the back.
Not for Ollie.
Embroidered in?
Embroidered.
Are you serious?
You would spend a week on picking that.
Oh my God.
Not that is outrageous. For Ollie.
So yeah, anyway, if you want them bound, just go get. Yeah, 3% off.
What's the code? Outlaw.
No, with all jokes aside, a lot of jokes seem to be at my expense. But all jokes aside, unboundmerino.com. We have a long-standing relationship with them. Obviously, some of us are closer to them than others. But if you would like 15% off, unbelievable unbound merino wool. Use the code OUTLAW at the checkout. You get 15%. If your order's over $100, they'll throw in free shipping as well. And we always say the same thing, that we will love it. We're always in it. When we're not in our own stuff,
And this is a one-off, as far as I know.
That's embroidered as well.
This is a one-off. But what I would say is if you mention it to them a few times.
Collab.
I mean.
It's not a bad show.
You'd buy one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
I'd buy one. I'd buy one that says "Not for Ollie" on the back.
We are not doing.
I think
we
should. I think they all should say "Not for Ollie" on the back.
Unbelievable. There's no mediums in there.
No, of course there are.
Outrageous.
Because you've got all the mediums all the larges.
I've got 24 mediums. Exactly. Some of them are crisp in the wardrobe. I'm not even warning you.
Anna, don't go in there. That's my merino wardrobe. They're my merino drawers.
Stay there.
Please don't touch those socks. There's only 14 pairs a day.
Don't give me that shit. You had all the socks. You had all the socks. I've not got any socks.
I didn't.
You did. There's definitely a box somewhere. Anyway, moving on.
You need to stop sparring with the pros. That's what needs to happen.
It's not too far away.
You're forgetting.
I just don't think I can do it anymore. okay. Okay. Thank you, Unbound.
Thank you, Unbound.
Dan appreciates it slightly more than I appreciate it. But, there we go.
I'm wearing these all the time. They sent me two so I can always alternate. So I can sit in front of the washing machine wearing one while the other one's in there being washed.
Don't wear that to the gym. That's just ammo for the chimps again. It's more ammo for them. Constant barrage of...
They don't need more ammo.
They do. They're running out. They're running out.
A banger.
Yeah, exactly. Win. Ding.
Okay.
Okay, review.
Oh, of course we're talking about that one.
Review first.
I've got the Chikadze card pulled up already.
Yeah.
Barber.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. Anyway, we'll get to that. Let's have a quick review. We're not going to do it all live. We're going to do four fights from the last fight night.
Yeah.
William Knight is a bit of a beast, isn't he? Interesting finish, wasn't it?
Because his
head's up there. He's not looking at any... But if you throw... I think that was twice he threw that right hand, right?
You're going to take Darth Vader out, aren't you?
Twice we've nearly had. Well, I'm glad it's not just me.
No, it's not. No, V's nearly took him out a couple of times.
I'll calm down a little bit. But Chirant threw that right hand twice, didn't he? On the second one, you're going to counter with their left hook.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even looking. He was looking up in the crowd somewhere, but he caught that bridge hand in it. And it was just interesting. But,
you said this the other day. You said bridge hand.
Yeah, well...
It's ridge hand.
A ridge hand. Yeah. Okay. Well, of course. anything in the striking realm
was like...
bridge. It's like... Yeah, it's when he goes like that.
Oh, okay.
You don't know that one?
I don't know that one, no. I don't know.
Years of experience.
Yeah. It's like your praying mantis style, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So... I was thinking, if you know, it was a long time ago for you, but whenever you speak to people about punching, they're always... People always say it's not how hard you punch, it's landing it and the timing and what have you. That wouldn't have registered on a punch machine or a force plate, anything like that. Would barely register, would it?
No.
But it was just the right time as he was coming in, as he was looking to land his punch with good timing not lucky timing, but he's obviously throwing the punch to land it.
Yeah.
But and then it was just done, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And when you look like a linebacker,
mate,
you're gonna
those low kicks that he was throwing. They were uncomfortable to watch land. He meant them as well. Yeah. I've not seen him look like that before. They commented on it as well.
His Thai background, right? That's his. That's his. Yeah. His thing.
I'm sick your tongue into it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. He's not looked that fiery before. Yeah. I didn't think. I don't know what the animosity was between the two.
But he looked like he knew this was his. Didn't he? He knew he was coming in to win it. And Chirant, he just wasn't quite there, was he?
Is that two losses in a row now? Mm. Two fast ones as well, pretty much.
Yeah. And it was interesting, just the timing of it and the precision of it always trumps power in it. And, you know, William Knight has a shitload of power, but it wasn't the power that got him the win.
Yeah.
It was just that
5'10 timing. With a 73-inch reach at light heavyweight.
Power pack as well.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see how that's going to do, because generally light heavyweights are getting taller.
Mm.
You know, I mean, if you look, most of the guys are sort of 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
You know, Thiago Santos, Anthony Smith.
Tough for him losing weight. Just the way his body, like he's lean already. It's not like he can lose a load of fat. He's going to have to trim muscle out of there.
You'd say that to Jared Cannonier, though. And I mean, he's pretty...
There was a bit on him. He was at heavyweight, right?
Originally. Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was a bit on him. And, and now he's stripped that fat.
But he's leaner than William Knight now.
Yeah, yeah, he is, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you think,
Yeah, there's a little bit.
Get him on a DEXA scan.
Yeah.
Get him on a DEXA scan. I mean, see if he's a serial killer.
Next one up we're going to look at was, oh man, I was happy to see this. Like, we were all over him last time. We really liked the way he was. Bahamondes.
Yeah.
And he
lost last 5 seconds.
Huh?
Last 5 seconds Unreal. Of the fight.
Unbelievable. I just thought he was great the whole fight, really. He seemed in control. He's really crisp, isn't he? He's very athletic. He's what, 23, 12-4. He's had a few submissions. We know he can knock people out. I think he might be here to stay.
I agree.
He's got a little bit, aura is probably a little bit strong because of how young he is and whatever, but he's got a little something about him, hasn't he?
Definitely.
There's just a little bit where you're like, oh shit, his rhythm, his timing. Yeah, I like him.
He plays with his striking very well. You know, I mean, obviously he won the fight with that spinning kick, but it's not all the way through. I mean, he threw a few spinning kicks, but he was also quite measured with them. You know, a couple of them landed, even though they were on the guard. He threw a back kick, which landed nicely as well. But like between the spinning stuff, there was a lot of jab, teep, front kick, low kick, feint.
It's not cross. It wasn't all flashy, it was nicely measured.
Which tells me he's got quite a depth to his skill set because he's got all the basics that he needs and he uses them well, but then he does sprinkle in a little bit of the fancy when, you know, last 5 seconds.
Love it. I really enjoyed watching that.
Man, I mean, Roosevelt Roberts was good. Yeah. You know, it was a competitive fight up to that point. I mean, you know, Bahamondes was bloodied and stuff, but
I mean, I think he's probably special about it. Did he get? He must have got a bonus, right?
Oh, he must have done.
Must have. So he's got to have made a little bit of money. Hopefully, that takes a little bit of pressure off him, and he can just concentrate on doing what he's doing. But I reckon he's got maybe one more, and then they'll give him like a recognizable name, and he'll be on a bit of a tear.
Yeah,
he's at good age. Clearly, got a good skill set.
Yep.
I don't know how he comes across to the public, like whether he can get a public swell behind him and he can be a superstar.
I think
he's
going to interview him soon.
Oh, really?
We'll see. We'll hear a bit more from him.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, definitely like watching him fight, for sure.
And man, these two, like we've...
Are you going to talk about Pantoja?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you finished on Bahamondes?
Yeah.
Woo-wee.
This was a great fight. And as I was watching it, I said to V a couple of times, Royval's going to be really good in a year or two's time.
He's young, isn't he? But in the preview show, I think he said the same thing. This is just a touch too soon for him.
I think I was pretty much on the money in the preview show, wasn't I?
Were
we keeping track, I think?
No, people are asking us to keep track,
somebody else had commented that I think I was like 10-2 on my picks.
I thought it was 2-10.
No, it was my MMA record. 10-2 on my picks. Yeah, I think I did pretty well.
Oh, no.
I just disagreed with you, though.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
no,
that's
smart
pretty much
bet.
The safest
that's a
bet,
smart
isn't it?
Bet. If you're going to bet, just go the opposite.
I just
don't know how they fought at that pace.
No.
Like it was just so fast.
It's wild.
Neither of them were still, especially during the scramble and the grappling. They just were not still, not once.
No.
I mean, I know that's the game. That's what
but
you're
it
supposed
was high
do,
level
but,
as well. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they were just kind of crazy, just kind of, you know, losing one position after the next. Like they were undoing each other's attack and reversing. It was, and I was impressed with Royval being able to hang with Pantoja. I mean, he got wrapped up quick. You know, Pantoja was on his back pretty quick. And with most other guys in the flyweight division, you're like, you're not going to see the end of this round.
Yeah.
But Royval actually made it competitive until, you know, obviously he got caught in the choke. I enjoyed it, and I think Royval's the next wave in this division. I just think Pantoja's there right now.
Did you see the call out of the champ. It was like the nicest.
No.
It was like the nicest. He was like, listen, we fought before. You were young, up and coming, and now you're the man, and I would just like a chance to fight again.
Oh, that's
again.
No good. That's no good.
I was like, wow.
Motherfucker. Motherfucker.
It was, yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's still, like we said on the previous show, it's weird. Like, he's beaten the champ twice, but he hasn't beaten the two guys that are above him.
Yeah.
And now, you know, he's finished Brandon Royval, so, you know, he is where he's supposed to be. Does he get a title shot straight away?
I mean...
Next up?
Where are the rankings? I don't see why not.
Three,
right? They're the one championship rankings. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. I'm a bit disorganized today. I've been to London and back. Ooh. Chatting with old Big John Fury. Gypsy John Fury. What a character.
What a character. That would be great if he could somehow get an interview, a one-on-one with him. That would 100%. Be fun talking old fighting.
He's got to have some stories. He was showing me some teeth marks in his elbows today from his old bare knuckle days.
Holy shit.
God, wicked. What was I going to say? What we're talking
rankings,
about?
Rankings, Pantoja's.
Yeah, Pantoja's three, behind, right? Askarov and Figueiredo.
Yeah, who've both beaten him.
Yeah.
But he's beat the champ twice.
But he's beat the champ twice.
I don't know what you do, really.
Moreno might have done him a favour by... the thing is, they like a narrative, don't they?
Yeah.
And there is a narrative there. So that's, I think he's got a damn good chance of getting up there. The other thing is, Askarov's a nightmare for everybody. And it's way more marketable and way more possible for Brandon Moreno to...
You don't want him as the champ, really, do you? Really? If you like...
I mean, he's not nearly as marketable as Brandon Moreno.
No.
Standing outside the Lego shop with his big bag.
Yeah, he's different, isn't
he? Love the guy.
Different.
Love the guy. What'd you spend your bonus money on?
Lego. Of course.
Yeah,
wicked fight. I loved it. I don't think I took a breath in that first round watching it. I was like, oh shit, how are you doing that? Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was wicked.
It was.
And the last one we're going to talk about is the main event. I was like, I was glued to this.
Have you watched the co-main though, right? Madsen?
No.
Oh, you've not watched that one yet? Okay.
Not watched it. Okay. We have so much going on.
We do.
Can only do so much.
We do.
It's
worth a watch of that. Yeah. I'd like to see your opinion, because there were a couple of times that Guida stung him.
Right.
It was a split decision, but one of the judges scored it 30-27 for Madsen. And right. I'm not sure.
That's possible.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, fair play, Clay Guida.
Yeah.
Because that's a hell of a task. But even a split decision loss, that is a hell of a task at that age.
Yeah.
Against that dude.
Mate, what was his record now? 28 and...
Amazing.
Like 28 and 17 or something. Oh, sorry. 36 wins and 21 losses.
That's a shitload of fights, isn't it?
It's a shitload of fights. I think he surpassed 6 hours in the octagon during the fight.
Amazing.
My goodness.
And he's probably not stopping, is he?
Of course he's not.
No.
He's bouncing off the walls.
Yeah, I imagine, like, what's
running
he
up and
do?
Down the corridors of the hotels in Vegas with an American flag over
what's
his
he
shoulder.
Do?
He's like the second coming to Hacksaw Jim Duggan, isn't he?
Nice.
Cannoneer Gastelum. Go on.
I was glued to this as much as I was in the Pantoja Royval fight. It was wicked, and man, KG's tough, isn't he? He's just tough and
Is he in that spot though? Is he in that same Benavidez spot that Pantoja might be in?
He just can't.
He might not be able to break the top three.
Yeah,
he might
I don't
be
know.
Just banging his head against those best guys in the division.
He's so fucking tough, man. I mean, I think the decision was right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so. It was competitive.
Yeah.
You know, he always gives a good account of himself, Gastelum.
That's 2-5 for Gastelum, right?
Huh?
2-5 for Gastelum.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I need to watch it again. Yeah. I only watched it the once. But he's in a real difficult situation where you look at everybody in the top 15 and you're like, well, he'll give them a scrap. He'll give every one of them a scrap. Probably catch a few of them.
But can he put four huge wins together to be the champ? Yeah. That's what he's talking about. I had a look in social media. That's his narrative.
First
close, I thought, I want it. I'm coming for the belt. I want the belt.
Fair play. Don't get it. Might not be this weight class, though.
He moves and I can't see him. Drop him.
No, of course not.
I mean, I've never met him. I'm making massive assumptions.
He almost missed weight. Oh, no. The reason he's not won the belt is because he's a light heavyweight.
Yeah.
He was going the wrong way. He was...
Keep eating. he just performs like he don't look like he can perform.
No.
Like, he's super agile. And you just look at him, you're like, you can't be agile. And he's super agile.
Yeah.
I like him.
he's got this clear rhythm to his style. You know, in the when he came out in the second round with a bit of a fire in his ass because he'd lost the first. Yeah. He does this thing where he kind of like he bounces back and then he jogs into attack.
Yeah.
So you know when he's going to attack because he brings his front foot back and then he comes back in. It's like
huge read.
Yeah. Over and over again.
Yeah, he's he's fast.
Yeah, he is.
He's fast. He is.
He's welterweight, isn't he?
For a square. He's fast.
For a SpongeBob.
Yeah.
What was the fucking word the other day?
Bong mong.
I think he is partial. But,
he is, isn't he?
Of course he is.
He is a bit of a bong mong.
Yeah.
I don't know what word you were thinking. I'm sorry for distracting you from that word.
Now and then, V will teach me a word in Spanish, which I won't remember.
Yeah.
And what I usually do is convert it to an English word that sounds similar to it and then replace it in her language with that similar English word.
So you've done her a favour, really?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Improve the language for her.
Yeah. Completely screwing up her understanding of English, as well as decimating her own native language.
Gent. What a gent.
It's the English way, I think.
Isn't it?
Yeah, she taught me a word, and I can't remember what it was, but it was the word for Gaston. It's like pound cake. He's like, you know what I mean?
Is there a better word?
I know. He's just a block.
Yeah, he's a pound cake. Yeah, dense pound cake. Absolutely.
Is that Galifianakis call one of his dogs pound cake on that fucking the campaign? You don't like fun, do you?
Yeah, I've seen it. It was good. I just won't be able to quote from it. That's where the fall down is.
That's sparring, I'm telling you. Too much pro sparring.
Lack of head movement and being shit when everyone else is good. That's the problem. The only thing I took from that is something obviously Jimmy and you talk about at the gym was Cannonier's hand fighting in the wrestle and the takedown D. It was super good, weren't it? Both hands straight to his thigh and just broke that grip a lot. Akeji just couldn't really control him, could he?
No.
I just thought it was quite a simple, like, it's not a move, do you know what I mean? It's just simple. It's like control the hands, break the grip, you know.
Yeah. It was a bit closer than I thought. I was expecting it to be, more competitive on both sides. I thought Gastelum would have a bit more success with his wrestling, but I also thought Cannonier would do more damage to him with his kicks.
Yeah.
It was actually a closer match, but it played out kind of how I expected. I think I spoke about both on the War Room, because Cannonier being able to switch from one stance to another was immediately problematic for Gastelum because he's always got options to kick.
Commentators were loving it. Idea.
Yeah.
No, it was not too bad.
Yeah.
Was
it?
Yeah.
Sometimes I get distracted by it so much that I'm not really paying attention to the fight.
Yeah, right.
So it depends who it is. It depends who it is.
But they were loving it, just how smooth he was between stances.
Yeah.
And it looked unconscious. Like he wasn't. You know, we've talked about switching stance to sort of try and fall. It wasn't he was just moving through stances. It wasn't I'm going to stand in southpaw now. I'm going to stand north. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was
sometimes very unconscious. Sometimes one stance looks like more of an effort.
Yeah.
I know when I switch to southpaw, it feels more of an effort.
Yeah, right.
I'm more conscious of my movement and more aware of myself and more and less aware externally. Whereas when I'm orthodox.
Shh, John Wayne Parr might be listening.
That's all right. You can listen. Come and train if you want. It makes no difference. Like when I'm orthodox, there's a lot more automated movement, if that makes sense.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a good card.
Have the rankings been updated yet?
No, they wouldn't. I think we're always a day too early.
Are we?
I think so. Quick shout out to Brendan Lockney. He's fighting in PFL.
He is fighting in PFL.
Quarterfinals, one away from the $1 million chance. Right?
That's semifinals.
Semifinals.
Yeah.
He's one away, right?
Yeah, I think
wins
he is.
This one, he's in the final.
Yeah.
For the $1 million.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
And he gets paid per fight, right, as well. They get an amount per fight.
Yeah, must be.
Good. I like it.
Yeah, like good luck. It. Good luck, Brendan. Bring it home.
Yeah, mate.
Right.
Okay.
Done with the review?
Yes.
Have a look at the Bob Ozchikadze card.
Now, pre-disclaimer.
Yeah. You've fucked me, haven't you?
I've not actually looked at this card.
Well, you have had a bit on.
I've not looked at this card.
You have had a bit on.
I've been busy doing Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley stuff, and I've been busy doing other things as well.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Okay.
But, you know, I know right. some of the
well,
guys
I've,
on this card.
I've got enough notes for all of us.
Yeah,
as the
well,
boys continually
that's what worries
let
me.
Everyone know.
That's what worries me. Okay. Manu Martinez, Guido Canetti.
Yeah.
I like Guido.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a weird matchup, right? Guida's what? It was 8-5 and 42. He's lost 6 of his last 8.
He's 41, isn't he? Yeah.
He's 41, yeah. Sorry. Mana's won his last 2. He's 8-2 and he's only 25.
Yeah.
So we're two ends of the spectrum.
This was a remade fight, though, wasn't it?
Mana was supposed to be last week.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Mario Bautista.
Yeah, there you go.
And did not someone in his team get COVID?
Maybe.
Bautista tested positive for COVID.
Right, there you go. At least it was him, though. If it was your team, you'd feel so bad, wouldn't you? You get all that way and you're like,
you would.
Bro, 9 weeks I've been in this camp. You've got COVID. I'm sweet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That'd be annoying. That'd be
very annoying. But Cannon is good, right?
Yeah.
He's like, he's good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He did get knocked the shit out of, didn't he, against Batgirl. Pretty bad, but it was like a straight arm left hook, like caught him sweet and just knocked him out.
You've got to wonder what he's striving for at this stage. I mean, he's not had many MMA fights for his age.
Yeah. I mean, how old is he? 8-5 and he's...
Yeah, he turned pro in 2007. So he's not been very active. One in 2007, one in 2009, one in 2010. Yeah, I mean, he's literally a fighter.
I wonder what he's doing.
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, it was just interesting, isn't it? Like, what?
Probably working full time. Probably,
yeah. Yeah. You'd imagine so. But he's in good, like, he's in good nick.
Yeah.
He's got some good attacks. He's got good defense. He's decent.
He's just, although he's got a similar record to his opponent, they're just at different points in their career, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, Martinez is 25. He's 5'10. He's got a 70 inch reach. He's taken a short notice fight. He's coming on a 2-fight win streak, stopping both guys in the first round.
You think, like, it feels like that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah. If you get a short call up from the UFC, this is the kind of fight that you're like, okay, I can make the most of this. Yeah. He's not coming in to take a loss to get his second opportunity against someone who's matched up against. Like, this is a match you can win.
Yeah.
And a good opportunity for him.
But he's no bum, man.
No, he's not. No.
Canetti's no bomb, is he?
Well, I mean, he's got that familiarity with the octagon, of course, that helps. Plus, his opponent had his first pro fight in 2016. So technically, Guida had been pro for 9 years, even though he only had, what, 4 fights?
Yeah, yeah. It's a better... Oh, was it not Martinez versus Trevin Jones? Was that not the one that got called off?
Was it? I thought... Oh, was Canetti taking this one on short notice then? No, Canetti was matched up with Mario Bautista. It was supposed to be on this card. And Bautista tested positive because Fees interviewed him.
So last week, Martinez was
Was he supposed to fight last week?
Yeah.
Debut?
Must have been,
and Trevin Jones is off the card because his teammate got COVID. Fucking hell.
But this is a better fight than the Trevin Jones fight for him, right?
Right.
Much better fight.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, Trevin Jones would be handful for him.
What a head fuck.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm going with Guida.
Yeah, I said I was going to go with it. I was going to back the veteran.
Yeah, why not?
Just because he's just going closer to my age than the other dude.
What's that? I think Martinez is going to win, but my pick's Guida. Yeah.
Solidarity for the 40-somethings.
There we go.
There we go.
You're nearly there, aren't you?
So are you, bro. Pat Sabatini and Jamal Emmers.
Yes.
I think could be quite a good fight.
Yeah, it could be. It's going to be fiery from the get-go, isn't it?
I mean, we talked up Pat Sabatini last time we spoke to him. I think he fought Tristan Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coming in with a bit of heat behind him. People were saying he's going to be something. It's 10 of his 14 wins via submission. So, he's going to have to watch out. Isn't he?
Yep. A lot of rear naked chokes.
Out. Yeah.
A couple of heel hooks. Yeah, a lot of rear naked chokes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 rear naked chokes.
Yeah,
I'm picking Pat Sabatini by rear naked chokes.
There you go. He had some real nice timing on some of his shots in that Tristan Connolly fight. Were beautiful. He let his hands go a couple of times. Wait for the counter. Just duck under, double leg. And his control, beat up, and submit game is tight in it.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal's going to have to be, he's going to have to be careful, but. Jamal Emmers is a good fighter. He's just not managed to put a long streak of good, solid wins together. But he's got a win over Corey Sandhagen.
Well, I mean, if you look at his losses, I mean, he's lost to So let's go back to 2016. He lost to Thiago Moises.
Mm.
He's got a win over Corey Sandhagen. Yeah.
2017 is not that long
he's
ago.
He's got a win over Chris Avila.
Right.
He's got a loss to Julian Arosa. You know, so I mean, he's like and this is the thing as well. He made his UFC debut and lost a split decision to Giga Chikadze.
Right.
And now he's on the undercard of Chikadze, who's in the main event taking on Barbosa.
That is the UFC, isn't it? That is the UFC.
But in his head, it's like, oh, well, you know, okay, I hung with one of those guys, you know, and it was a close fight. It was a split decision. You know, I think it's an interesting one, but without making it too black and white, it feels like a striker v grappler matchup. I think Sabatini is going to do much better on the floor, but I think Jamal Emmons is going to be a handful. I think it's going to be difficult to keep a hold of, difficult to take down.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a better striker, isn't he? He's got a beautiful counter knee up the middle.
Mm.
He just docks his head and smashes that knee up the solar plexus. But
I think Sabatini, someone trying to take him down.
Yeah, but I think Sabatini's game is pretty tight. And I don't know, man.
Which way are you going?
Yeah, I'm going Sabatini. I think I think he'll control and beat him up.
I'll go Jamal Emmons then.
Yeah. It's facetious.
Just from that little confidence boost that he gets. So looking at that main event and thinking,
I was close.
I was a split decision away from being on that poster, potentially.
How long ago was that?
It was a little while ago. I mean, Giga Chikadze's had a few fights since then, hasn't he? He's racked up a few wins. Yeah, so that was a split decision against Jamal Emmers March of 2020. But since then, Giga Chikadze has beaten Erwin Rivera, Omar Morales, Jamie Simmons, and Cub Swanson.
Yeah.
So he's been...
Yeah, we'll get to him in a bit, but...
He's been busy. Okay.
Yeah, Sabatini.
So we're going opposites.
Yeah. You like that, don't you?
I do.
Enjoy it.
JJ Aldrich, I like her. She is fucking tough. She's like...
so tough.
Just come and fight me. Just...
Yeah. She's not like mad skills as toughness just like overawes it. She's like 9-4, but she's also had 11 amateur fights. So she's competed a lot in MMA.
Yeah. Only been stopped once, right? Oh no, she was caught in it. She got Renee Kachuk by Tatiana Suarez, didn't she?
Yeah, which, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And she was great in that Poliana Viana fight.
Yeah.
Because Poliana is clearly a killer on the floor, and she was close a few times, and she really had to solve that puzzle dealing with her, and she did. I thought she did really well.
Mm. And then Courtney Casey in that last fight as well.
Yeah, the Poliana fight was strawweight, right? And now she's settled at flyweight.
Was it? Yeah, it was strawweight. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Flyweight
suits her much better.
Yeah, definitely. She had Sabina Mazzo's, we rate her.
Yeah, she's good. She's tall, good. Awkward, good striker. Difficult to get close to. I don't know much about this Vanessa
Demopoulos. She's have a look at her Tapology photo.
She's a pro wrestler.
Shredded. She's out of Black House, so she's gonna be pretty tough, isn't she? She had a close fight with.
What's that photo all about, though?
I don't know. She's
standing on a rooftop with what looks like two sports bras on, but one backwards, and it's the LFL, but LFA belt. But why is she standing on a fucking? That's just a weird.
I'm assuming
photo.
We're talking about the same photo. She looks about 2% body fat.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah. She is shredded.
Yeah.
She's
I don't know. She must have cut specially for that photo, because she doesn't necessarily look like that when I was watching her earlier.
That's a really weird photo.
There are some weird ones. Oh, who's the dude with the amazing one from Finland? Makwan. That's the best one.
He's looking with all the girls around him. Yeah, of course.
That's the best one.
Mr. Finland.
Yeah.
He's your spirit animal, he is.
He's wicked. I love him. I mean, we couldn't be further apart, but yeah, I suppose that's what your spirit animal's supposed to be like.
So this is a short notice signing, isn't it?
Yeah, but she had a good fight with Corey McKenna in the contender series. But Corey, she was just a touch better. Do you know what I mean? All over, really. She threw a few subs up from the bottom, but Corey controlled her and was, you know, she was pretty good. The thing I just thought for her is that JJ's been in there with some really good fighters. She's been around. She's got a lot of experience in the organization, and she's a solid, solid roster fighter, isn't she?
She is.
I can't imagine JJ Aldridge being the champ, but she's a solid roster fighter who's, you know, she causes a lot of problems.
Yeah. She's on the bright side for Vanessa coming in, Aldrich is a solid decision maker.
Mm.
So there's probably going to be a 15-minute window for her to work.
Yeah.
You know, which if I'm coming in for my UFC debut, it's nice to know that you've got someone that's probably not going to try and blast you out there in the first round. Yeah. Bit of breathing room. But
she was good with Macy Barber until she wasn't.
True.
In that first round, she kind of whacked Macy Barber up.
You
beat her
to
the punch a lot of the time.
Like with Macy, you kind of have to start fast.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then
I'm going with Aldrich just because I like her fighting style. And you know, I just think the more time she's like Clay Guida, the more time she spends in the octagon, the more comfortable she's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, JJ. JJ.
Okay.
Oh, I don't think this is a good matchup for Darren Stewart.
It's not. Why is he at light heavyweight?
I don't know.
He's just not. He's not big enough for light heavyweight, surely. Like, I've stood next to him and he looks to me like a big welterweight.
He's light heavyweight in thickness.
Yeah,
but
depth.
But not in height at all. I just don't think this is the right fight for him. I don't know why he would.
Jacoby's got a lot of kickboxing experience, hasn't he?
I think Jacoby's good, man. Mm. And, like, Darren's got beat up by Eric Anders twice. Even that first one that got finished with an illegal knee, but that was going to a loss for sure. And then he got beat up, and I actually thought Eric Anders was much better in that second fight and kind of dismantled him. But Dustin Jacoby's tough, man. He fought Maxim Grisham.
Who's a former heavyweight.
And he's a beast. Mm.
And
he's
Justin Ledet, who's also a former heavyweight.
Yeah,
stopped
man.
Him with low kicks.
I don't see this
going. It's a tough fight.
I don't see this going very well for him. And you know,
no. It is a very tough fight. The only upside, if I'm Darren and I'm looking at this, I'm going, okay, I'm fighting a guy who's 6'4", who's got a 4-inch reach advantage. So if I can get close enough to him to crack him on the chin, his kickboxing record is 10 wins and 8 losses. He's lost 3 times by knockout. But he's also won 9 times by knockout. So he's a bit of a, you know, like our trade punches
take
until one of us fall over.
Give one.
Like Darren can crack.
Yeah, he can.
And you know, I don't think light heavyweight is probably the best place for him. But we're assuming that he's not really cutting weight to be there. We're assuming that he's stepping
might
in there
have a
fresh.
Hell of a camp, calorie'd up, not worrying about his weight, loving
hell of
life.
A camp.
Just, you know, who knows?
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Dustin can control this distance and whack his legs up and, yeah.
That's going to be the challenge.
Could be rough, couldn't it?
Low kicks and body kicks. Because Darren's not going to try and grab him and take him down, is he, unless he's getting lit up.
And you know that going in. And you know, did you say he'd finished someone with leg kicks already?
Yeah. Yeah, Justin Ledet.
So he's in his game.
And Ledet's a good boxer.
Yeah, and he's got good feedback from doing that. He knows the takedown threat is not massive. I reckon he's going to go and blast his legs. Tough.
Mm.
Tough one. But you know, like we say.
You're going with Jacoby then, aren't you?
Yeah, Darren Stewart, calorie'd up and not worrying about his weight. There's a lot of power to be generated through that young man, for sure. But I think I got Dustin Jacoby. I quite like Jacoby. I watched that fight last night with Maxim Grishin and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fair play.
I'm going to take Darren Stewart by first round knockout. Yeah.
I feel like you're just doing the opposite of whatever I'm saying right now. Now you got your custom fucking merino wool on.
I'm all full of C4 and new merch, aren't I? You know, I'm feeling a bit,
I like it.
I'm feeling a bit confident.
Yeah,
no, look, I'm if I'm picking Guido against Martinez, I'm picking Darren Stewart against Jacoby.
Yeah.
Look, we're all here to
the
have
wheels
a bit
have
of,
come off.
Fuck it.
The wheels have definitely
sparks
come off.
Flying down the road. It doesn't matter. Let's have a bit of fun. I'm picking Darren Stewart by first round knockout because I think he's gonna be like, right, as long as I connect with this motherfucker, he's going down. He looks like a big giant.
Is he gonna have the power of Maxim Grisham though? Who's technically a heavyweight.
Yeah, he's technically a heavyweight, but like Max Grisham is an undersized heavyweight, and he's not got a lot of pop on his shots. Mm. Like I called his debut, didn't I? I called his UFC debut, I think, Max Grisham. I did against Tybora and his fight against Antigolov. And he's got a TKO over Antigolov, but he was still standing and he thought it was the end of the round. He was just like standing up against the fence, just taking a bunch of shots.
I can take this. I'm hanging.
And the referee stepped in. He was like, end of the round. And it was the end of the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because you've come down from a different weight, I don't necessarily think it equates to punching power. I think that a big part of Darren Stewart's punching power is his speed, mm-hmm. and that's something that Max Grishin's not got. He's not a fast fighter.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
I think the speed at which Darren Stewart can cover distance might be problematic.
Might catch Dustin before he.
And he might, you know, Darren Stewart might be feeling the pressure a little bit. You know, he's moved up a weight class. I mean, he's got, you know, one win in his last five fights, if you count the no contest.
Is the move up in weight class to buy him a freebie?
Well, it is, like, people do that. I mean, his last one was a light heavyweight. Because Anders fights were both weight classes, weren't they? The first one was middleweight.
Yeah, you're right.
The second one was light heavyweight.
They both went, nah.
Yeah, fuck it.
Come on, bro.
Let's just run it back, but not do the weight
We're not
cut.
Doing the cuts.
Yeah.
That'll do.
Yeah.
Sam Alvey, was that a blessing here, I reckon? Because the fight with Kopilov was cancelled, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that was, I just did not think that was going to go very well for him.
This is going to be an ugly fight.
Yeah, I'm not massively excited about this.
I had to watch Sam Alvey against Derek Brunson again the other day.
I love how you say that too.
It just makes me a little bit sick in my mouth sometimes. Yeah. It's just such a mess. It's such a mess. And he's got that psychopath smile where he's not actually smiling.
Yeah.
His mouth is smiling and his eyes are saying, God fucking help me. You know what I mean? It's like this manic, like he's going to blow up a hospital and walk out wearing a nurse's outfit kind of. Anyone that shaves a smiling face in the back of their fucking head is not smiling on the front side.
No. No, there's a fair bit of crazy going on in that.
Yeah.
There's a fair bit of crazy.
Yeah.
I always think of him, I always picture him like at a barbecue.
Yeah.
He just looks like a dude that would barbecue.
That's the other thing as well, he's back at middleweight. He gave up for a minute and went to light heavyweight. Like, fuck it. I'm going to the barbecue this weekend.
I like carbs.
Carb Alvey. I like him. I like him as an individual.
He's got some character to him, hasn't he?
Really struggle to enjoy his fights. They're just a sloppy mess.
Very durable. He's been around for so long.
That doesn't equate durability. Doesn't equate to being a good fighter, though.
No, I mean, look. I think Wellington Turman's gonna beat him for athleticism. I think he's probably gonna beat him for power.
And would that be his first UFC win?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, no, no, he's got that decision win over Marcos Perez, but he's coming off two knockout losses.
Yeah.
I think Sam Alvey's going to lay him out.
One of them was only
I think Alvey's going to lay him out.
You reckon?
Yeah. It's going to look like a fight at a barbecue between an uncle and an unruly teenager. They should even They should even do it in a drained pool.
Right. we're now cutting away from our broadcast.
Yeah.
We have Sam Alvey versus Wellington Turman. In a pool.
They're only allowed to wear boxer shorts that have got some kind of beer sponsor on them, like Budweiser.
And an oven glove on one hand.
Taped.
Yeah.
No, both hands taped to oven gloves, so we can't get any fucking eye pokes.
Yeah, nice.
Here we go.
Or just get better gloves. Wait,
we've just solved the UFC's problem right there.
Oven gloves.
Oven gloves.
Yeah, there you go.
Oven gloves. Sam Alvey could even wear one of those that's connected in the middle with that dirty bit of fucking cloth that's always got leftover
the
food on it.
Wiping cloth.
You could even use that.
I mean, is he going to be any worse? Is he going to be much worse?
No.
He's probably going to be
the same.
You
probably won't make a difference.
There you go.
Okay.
The only thing I thought is Wellington loves a sob. He does love a sob and...
You're not talking about sandwiches. Sorry.
No. Sam Alvey loves a Subway, for sure. I don't know.
If he's escaping his life, he is, I think.
I might go and make a coffee or something during that one. I'm not too fussed at all.
I watched the highlights on Instagram.
Yeah, there you go.
Alessio...
Well, are there going to be any? That might not take you very long.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The highlight might be Sam Alvey biting DC's neck in the post-fight interview or something.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me.
Abdul Al Hassan.
Yes.
And Alessio, did he say his second name? Because you said it on the commentary.
Di Chirico. Alessio Di Chirico and Abdul Razak Al Hassan.
I know Al Hassan's getting on a bit, but he moved and was he looked much more athletic at that lightweight. When he came up, he had two, I love those fights with Hamasi.
Yeah.
with Sabah Hamasi, they were wicked fights to watch. I really enjoyed watching them. And it was a really weird end. It were both really weird endings.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got entangled. The ref stood him up and it was just a bad call. Like, he just got entangled, didn't he? And he'd already had a really early stoppage with Herbert, stopped them super early, I think.
Yeah.
And it was just, I just remember the end of both fights was like...
kind of odd.
Oh, yeah. Shit, what are you going to do a third time? And then he got knocked out by chaos, didn't he?
Yeah. He had a hell of a scrap against Malkoon.
Yeah.
Like, they when they sat down next to each other at the up against the Octagon afterwards, just like,
oh, fuck, that was cool, bro.
Nothing left.
That was wicked. I just thought the first fight of Hamasi, he was light and he was bouncy and he was fast. And then against Chaos, he was thick and he looked over-muscled.
Yeah.
But he's 36, and I understand that for him to, you know, be getting down to welterweight, he's a big motherfucker, isn't he, to be being a welterweight. So, I understand that. Mm.
Yeah, he is 36. I didn't realise he was that old.
I mean, it's tough, isn't it, when you're getting on a bit.
He's not that old. I mean, you know, come on. But Alessio was in a bad spot a few fights ago, wasn't he? I mean, until he knocked out Buckley with that head kick, he was three fights down in a row.
Yeah, he was. But I thought he was good.
He is, yeah.
I think he's good.
Yeah, I think he lacks a little bit of pop and a bit of horsepower, perhaps. Like, I don't see him hurting people a great deal with his shots. And I think that might be the difference in this fight.
Yeah.
Al-Hassan can crack. Yeah. But then again, you know, Di Chirico, you know, he's well conditioned. He takes a shot. He's durable.
He's well proportioned. Well, he looks like he's supposed to be at that weight. You know, when some guys are, you know, that's not their weight and they're either bulking to make it or cutting to make it. He's just put together like he should be in that sort of...
Yeah, you couldn't get him down to welterweight.
No, no, he's too sort of thick around his lower body and stuff, isn't he? I mean, it was a great finish in that Buckley fight, weren't it? It was just a well-timed head kick.
Yeah. It's not like he's getting put away regularly, though. I mean, he's never been knocked out. He's been subbed once.
Surely he's got to be like, Al-Hassan will blast him early, or Alessio could probably come through and maybe win a decision.
Yeah,
seems good with space.
Yeah, he does.
He seemed good with space in that Buckley fight, because Buckley's short and thick and powerful, and he was coming at him, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He dealt with that really well. Which you would think Al-Hassan's not going to be too dissimilar, right?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, the difference here is, you know, Al-Hassan, if he locks up, he's got a judo background. Mm. He is the shorter fighter, you know, 5'10", 73-inch reach. But his judo background puts him in strong positions, even if he wants to break clinch. Mm. So, like, say if he's got Di Chirico hurt and Alessio's grabbed a hold of him to try and get a bit of a breather, the risk might not be getting taken down. It might be him using his judo to separate so he can continue striking.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how difficult Jimmy is to keep a hold of if you don't want you to hold on to him. Like, it's just that core strength and that ability to manipulate somebody else's balance. I mean, all 10 of his wins are by knockout. He's lost once by knockout, but all the other three of his losses are by decision. Like, he has been outworked in the past. Mm. You know, we've seen that happen. I think this is a very winnable fight for Di Chirico.
Yeah.
Of course, the risk is him getting cracked and knocked out. But it's just statistically, if you look down his record, that just doesn't happen. I can see him taking shots and getting hurt, losing a 10-8 round maybe. But, I mean,
it goes back to the space management. Like, I felt like he really managed space well in the Buckley fight. And, you know, people that can manage space don't put themselves in that position to get cracked hard enough that's going to knock them out.
Yeah. I'll give an exact prediction.
Wow.
So we can clip this after the podcast once it's already happened. People will think we record this after you watch. We didn't.
Yeah,
we got a newspaper. What's the date? 24th.
It's my phone.
I think Abdul Razak Al-Hassan's going to have a really good first round. I think he's going to look fast. I think he's going to be refusing to clinch. And I think he's going to crack Di Chirico and probably get a 10-8 round.
Mm-hmm.
But then Di Chirico is going to come in and just walk him down for the second and third, back him up and beat him up, and he'll be exhausted up against the fence at the end of the third.
I agree, because that's what I wrote, similar to what I wrote.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Al-Hassan early, but if he can't do it, he's gonna get ground down by Alessio, and Alessio will come through and maybe win a decision.
Yeah. So you didn't make a pick then? You just gave a for instance of both guys winning.
No, but that's how I see it going. Al-Hassan doesn't get off, and Alessio grinds him down.
Oh, okay.
Screenshot and put it in the info.
Yeah. I reckon we should have these notes forwarded to Jimmy the night before so we can have them vetted the next day.
He can't read. What are you on about? Get someone to read it to him.
I'm looking forward to their podcast tomorrow. I can't wait.
Oh, man. It's just fucking chaos. Funny. We've got questions coming. I'll put something on Instagram asking people to bring questions in for the podcast, and there's some funny ones come through.
Brilliant.
It'll be good.
Brilliant. There were just so many soundbite moments.
Amazing.
Oh,
amazing.
It's cracking
and it
up.
Flowed. You know, it's the first one, and fair play to him.
I was surprised.
It flowed really good.
Yeah.
Old mate looked a bit nervous to start with, but he was all right. Josh just doesn't give a fuck, which really helps. Like, you know when people say they don't give a fuck, you're like, oh, that means you really
give
a fuck.
Yeah.
No, he just doesn't give a fuck. No. No interest.
Bang you.
Yeah, just lift someone. Whatever you want. Whoever you want.
Gerald
Meerschaert.
Fucking hell, mate. What? This poor guy. This poor meerkat. He gets put in with every fucking rising prospect that the UFC are trying to build.
Don't he?
Right?
He's been around for ages.
He has. He has. He's like the litmus test for the next wave of superstars.
He's fought a lot of respectable fighters.
Yeah.
The problem is, he's sort of got made famous by Khamzat, didn't he? Mm. Because he just got caught in the fog lights and
he got Khamzat.
Oh shit, yeah, didn't he? He got properly
17
Khamzat-ed.
Seconds.
Yeah, it wasn't great, was it?
No. But then he comes back and subs Fabinski and reminds you that he's actually a legitimately really good fighter.
24 of 32 wins are from sub stoppages. Mm. Like, he's dangerous.
Yeah.
He's very dangerous. The problem is Mahmud Muradov is like the next rising star.
He's
and has got a crazy following.
Yeah.
Like, how many times have we said, if we put something up in a, like, say, like a post-fight interview in a mix of a load of post-fight interviews from the same card, he'll get 10x everyone else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a spike in the videos where there's a bit where he's in. In fact, let's make sure we tag this podcast up with his
Tajikistan. Tajikistan following.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's how you follow it, but say it, but that's what it sort of looks like.
Tajikistan. Uzbekistan. You're fucking way off.
No, I'm not.
You're way off.
I'm not.
Well, my everlasting memory of Meerschaert,
I'm giving you a minute to recover yourself
before you embarrass yourself once more.
I'm giving a breathing gap
between the embarrassments. My everlasting memory of Meerschaert, aside from the Khamzat knockout, is against Jack Hermansson. And yes, he's a great grappler, but he also is quite happy to accept being in really bad positions, chasing an ankle and getting his head pounded in. And, you know, I mean, he was constantly putting himself in bad situations against Hermansson, who's got wicked ground and pound.
Mm. Anyway, Tajikistan.
Oh, yeah, is it?
Born in Tajikistan. I don't know whether that is in Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he was born there and then moved to Uzbekistan or not.
Yeah.
Is that... He hasn't got a flag by there, but anyway. According to Tapology, he was born in Tajikistan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Let me see what Wikipedia says.
Put that in pop and smoke it.
Yeah, no, I mean it just says Tajik.
Istan.
Well, now it is. Yeah, it didn't used to be.
Now
it used to be.
Quickly changed it.
I got a minute. Slow down. I'm just reading what it says here. It says that he was born in Dushanbe.
Yeah, I didn't even try
Tajik,
that one.
SSR. Soviet Union, which is now
Tajikistan. There you go.
There you go.
Is now Tajikistan.
Yes.
All right.
Now it's its own thing.
So what's happening with Uzbekistan?
Well, now he lives in Prague, so it don't really fucking matter, does it? Right?
He's
got a lovely hat.
Yeah. Yeah. And a massive following.
Yeah. He's just going to smash him up, isn't he? Let's be honest. This fight is... I mean,
if he fights like he fought Andrew Sanchez, he's going to smash him up. But that was quite a fun fight. I did enjoy that. And Andrew Sanchez was pretty good.
Andrew Sanchez is a good wrestler.
Yeah. But he was pretty good. No, but his striking had got way better in that fight. He'd suddenly got this like confidence in his striking until he got hit so hard that he started walking like a newborn horse. And he just did the old, wait, shit.
He's on a 14-fight win streak.
Yeah, he's
and
not.
His last loss was an injury to his clavicle.
Oh, bet that hurt.
Mm. But then, like, he did have a few losses early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Won his first two, lost by armbar. Won the next one, lost a split decision. Won the next one, lost two. One by guillotine, one by triangle. Then he had a little three-fight streak, picked up a loss. Like, he had losses, but since 2014, it looks like he's pretty much been on a streak aside from a clavicle injury.
Look, the only way Gerald can win this is by taking him down. Muradov seems a pretty solid takedown defense.
Yep.
I don't know. You haven't got the stats there, have you? But
I can have.
His strike is pretty deadly. Chances are this is a KO TKO for Muradov, right?
If he defends the first two takedowns for sure, then I think that's it. Mershart's
caught. I mean, Andrew Sanchez is a good wrestler. We didn't really put it on him, did he, like that? It looked like he wanted to test his striking out with him and see what happened.
That was not the right thing to
didn't
do.
Didn't work out that well, but he was actually doing pretty good.
Yeah,
they were doing all right. It was a good fight to watch.
Yeah, this is not a good fight for Mershart.
No, it's not.
Just look at it and just see. You can just like you know that Mershart is in that category. For fuck's sake!
Wow.
Fucking R2-D2 jumps out at me. All right,
the shit I would have got. The shit.
You're always kicking the fuck out of it.
Than if V had done it, V would have got some serious shit.
You're always kicking the fuck out of the set.
I'm not. I don't finger tap anymore either. That was just everything. That one time.
It's all right now. We've fixed the mics.
Well, yeah,
I had
true.
To spend a bunch of money to get around it. Yeah, please don't.
Yeah. Morse code it. Well,
you need takedown defense stats. You want takedown defense stats.
Yeah, my feel is Muradov has pretty solid takedown defense.
What would you say it is, percentage-wise?
High, mid-70s.
Well.
Well, young man.
Well. His takedown accuracy is 16%.
Him trying to take someone down?
Yes.
Right.
Mershart, I can't not say Mercat, I'm really trying not to. Mershart has got 43% takedown accuracy and takedown defense.
Exactly. Weird.
Muradov got 100% takedown defense.
Oh, shit.
That is the fuck you of takedown defense, isn't it?
Unfortunately, that is the
final.
I've got
three digits in my takedown defense.
That's the final.
You got three
nail.
Digit takedown defense? Mate, I haven't got three digit takedown defense.
Gerald's fucking dead, bro.
I wonder what my takedown defense stat is.
No, I don't look that up.
It's going to be like 26%, isn't it? Fucking GSP.
Your takedown defense.
I was doing all right up until that.
Your takedown defense
point.
Is so bad, you're now doing Muay Thai. Muay Thai in MMA gloves. That's how good it is.
Fucking hell. We got trash talking on the podcast now.
Mate, the shit you've given
me. Rough ass is overspilling into the...
Jumping onto old mate's bandwagon.
You wait until tomorrow morning at sparring now.
Oh, yeah. Why are you coming back?
I verbally spar with you and you can't keep up. You don't want me to put gloves on.
That's true. Half of what you just said is true.
That was a good one. I remember that.
Gloves on, but just don't punch me. There's plenty of people who want to be punched by you.
I don't think there are.
Right, Gerald's dead, bro. Yeah, there's not a fucking chance he's fucking winning this.
Is that what it says
there's
on your notes?
No fucking chance Gerald's winning dead. This. 100% takedown defense and dead. Not great standing against this fucking killer.
Killer.
Tajikistani killer.
Killer.
Yeah.
Riding off the Mongolian steppe.
Oh,
ready for fucking war.
Is he Mongolian now?
Well, of course he is.
How the fuck he is.
He is, mate. That's the steppe. That is the region of the world where the steppe people came from. The Scythians.
Love it.
Warlike people. That's
have
where the...
Have you watched Marco Polo on Netflix?
I have watched a little bit of it.
Oh, get into it. I got into it. It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I was a bit like that. I was like,
Yeah.
And then I got maybe 2.5 in and I was like, oh shit, this is good.
Okay.
I think you'll like it.
All right. I'll give it. I think I probably watched like 3 or 4 episodes.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
I'll have
maybe you just don't have any taste. I'm not sure which.
You can't even fucking start. You don't like Star Wars.
That's
What's his name?
Get it. Oh, Dave, I think. I don't know. That's Tito.
It's not.
Who the fuck's that?
Oh, you fucking hell. Oh. It's Mandalay.
Oh, I fucking nearly remember his name. I can't remember his name.
Space Ranger.
Renamed.
Renamed. Yeah. You know some of these, right?
Not really. Let's not get onto this.
Oh,
this is just humiliating for everyone. Mainly me. That's a T-Rex though, right? I definitely asked the T-Rex.
Fucking hell,
where are we? Oh, right. Another fight I don't care about from Tough. Petrovsky versus Gilmore.
I don't know.
That's about it. I'm about done because I don't give a fuck about this one. Ricky Turquoise and Brady Heist, I don't give a fuck. Kevin Lee and Daniel Rodriguez.
Mate,
that's cool.
Let's talk about that fight.
It's a shame because that was Kevin Lee versus Sean Brady, which would have been sick.
It would have been sick.
But that's gone.
Yeah.
Because
it would have been sick, especially because A, Brady's got great tattoos.
Yeah.
And B, Kevin Lee's just had the back of his fucking head tattooed.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
That's a huge
He's had
call.
Some like armor kind of chainmail plates or something.
So look at that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like goes all the way up to the top of his ears. Basically no where you know you can't strike.
Oh,
maybe
shit.
That's why he's had it done. Maybe he's marking out the area of the back of the head where you can't
the
strike. They need some fucking help. It's a bit
but that
right? What?
Yeah. It's got like a bit of rope at the back as well. That's weird.
It's got a bit of rope out of the back.
It's got a bit of rope out of the back. It looked like you could go a lap.
That's no good.
Weird.
You don't want something that can pull around.
No.
Yeah, it would have been a really good... I'm a fan of this one.
I think
Daniel Rodriguez is
D-Rod.
Yeah, he's a fucking handful.
He's got like a middleweight upper body and a lightweight lower body.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of merges him into welterweight.
Mate, he outstruck Mike Perry. 129 strikes to 61. He's got a hell of a work rate.
Yeah, he basically, every single chance he caught Mike Perry.
Yeah.
Like, he just edged everything. It was tough. And Mike Perry didn't look out of shape or anything like that.
He's just a bit
of a roller coaster, isn't he? But, he is
a roller coaster.
Yeah. He's tough.
He'd be a good fight for Jake Paul. Mike Perry. Would be a good scrap.
Oh, right? Yeah, but how big's Jake? Jake Paul, like, this is another welterweight, though.
He's 6'1.
6'1 and what?
190 pounds, about the same as Perry.
Right. D-Rod looks much bigger than him in that fight.
He does. But then Kevin Lee's coming up from lightweight, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's an in-betweener, isn't he,
Kevin
Lee?
Yeah, I thought that one. Like I was looking RDA. At he used to champion that middle ground between the two.
The tweeners.
The two weights, yeah.
Yeah. So hang on, just before we move on, are these other guys on The Ultimate Fighter then? Is that why I've got I can't watch that nonsense with the fucking drinking and knocking each other out in a fucking bathroom.
I think the last time I watched that was the Ashes, UK and Australia,
yeah.
Because you know we had friends and I was on it. And
the thing is, I've dipped into it because if I'm researching a card that's got someone who came through The Ultimate Fighter, I watched that season to prepare for that fight, you know, as a part of the preparation. I'll just...
You watched the season?
Yeah, I get a bit obsessed.
No,
I'm
you
preparing
don't.
For a fight.
You don't watch the whole season?
I watch the season.
What, if there's one person on the card?
I want to see them training. I want to see how they interact
with
other people.
Why do you do that to yourself?
Well, because...
Why don't you just end up thinking everyone's a dick because you've watched the whole season?
Well,
that's
a part of the problem. But I kind of, you know, I work my way through. I mean, I fast forward some stupid bits. They're doing... activities and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I'm
actually watch
like,
the fights from.
I want to watch the training parts and I want to watch the fighting parts. Yeah. I'm not bothered about the alcoholic anonymous bits and the fucking throwing beds in the pool and pissing on each other or whatever else they fucking do in that house. That show has become an abomination to mixed
martial arts.
It's just
a bit done because you know that they have
fucking
to do shit
enough of it.
For TV.
Yeah.
They have to.
So
if everyone
give
was just
alcohol
like
and...
super respectful and it's like, oh, I'm just going to train really hard and then, and then I'm going to take my supplements, eat right, and I'm going to sleep and get up in the morning and do
That's
it again
TV.
For 8 weeks nonstop. Everyone will be like, this is getting decommissioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why The Ultimate Fighter does a season and a prime time, a countdown show is one episode.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Can only get up, train, and go to bed so many times, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know much of these. I watch the fights. If anybody interests me, I might go back and look at the Ultimate Fighter, but I'm just over that format. I'd rather watch old kickboxing, old boxing matches than that.
I mean, we had a wicked time. What's tough nine was UK and
was
USA,
wicked.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I can't remember what number it was, but we did the Ashes, UK and... Ross was on there and Dino was in there coaching and then Ross hit George Sotiropoulos so hard that he did the elevated fetal position in the air. His feet like straight up underneath
it was weird,
him.
Wasn't it?
And mate, Ross had broken him over the season. Like just broke him. Just couldn't handle the banter, couldn't handle any of it and was so mad and then just got fucking lifted.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
Yeah. And the crowd were all behind Ross as
Yeah,
well.
I know.
We were there, weren't we?
Yeah,
we
yeah, were yeah. We were ringside, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was funny.
That was a fucking good week, that was.
Yeah, it was wicked, wasn't it?
It was a good week.
Was that Gold Coast?
That was Gold Coast.
Shooting Star Gold Coast.
That was
shit.
December 21st.
Yeah.
Mushrooms on a beach.
Yeah.
Fucking Eyes Like Pennies. All kinds of mad shit happening. It's, listening to the Doors.
Like, obviously, I'm back home now.
Moonlight
Drive. That coast is pretty fucking cool.
It's beautiful.
The Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, past Brisbane down to the Gold Coast, carry on down to Byron Bay. It's a special area of the world, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is.
You know, I know some good dudes down there. That,
yeah.
It's a good place. Good place. We'll go back one day.
Definitely.
We'll have a little rough house on tour.
Oh, mate.
Rough house and centre, dust the Gold Coast. Oh, my God. It's just fucking imagine that.
Can
no
you?
One's coming home alive.
Can you? Jimmy walking down with his fucking ducktail side bag.
Yeah. There's this fucking Mexican standoff with a bikie gang within 24 hours. It'd be wicked. I love it.
Yeah.
So we've sidetracked Kevin Lee and D-Rod.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
I think Kevin Lee's going to utilize his wrestling. I think he's going to test D-Rod's takedown defense. I think he's going to... Let's see where D-Rod's takedown defense is at. I think Rodriguez, he always gives you that energy that he's like, come on, let's fucking do it. Let's have a scrap. I mean, he lands 8 strikes per minute compared to Kevin Lee, who's 3.9. But then, you know, Kevin Lee shoots, you know, average of 3 takedowns per fight. Like, I think he's going to wrestle in this one. I mean, you know, D-Rod's got 83% takedown defense, but the persistence of Kevin Lee, the pace that he might be able to set now, he's a welterweight, he's not cutting. I don't know. The only other thing is he's been out for a while because that last loss was at Oliveira, which was the first fight without a crowd, March last year. So he's been out a little while.
Yeah. He was kind of doing all right in that fight for a little bit, and then he decided to play death chess with him on the floor, didn't he?
No, he got clips. He got caught and knocked down, and then he got caught and hurt and guillotined.
Is that how it finished?
Yeah.
But he was on the floor with him for a bit, and he was getting tied up.
Yeah, he was. But he's confident in his ground game. You know, he's confident in his grappling skills. I just like this is not going to be a. This is not a fight that is going to necessarily concern Kevin Lee in the grappling range.
No.
I think if anything...
He's safer there, right?
He is safer there. He's not going to get walked down and beaten up by Rodriguez. And that's just his game, isn't it? I mean, he's a skilled brawler. Is his style. Good pressure. I don't know if Kevin Lee's got the horsepower to hurt him necessarily. I mean, how many times has Rodriguez been stopped? I can't think of a time.
Solid jab and wicked rear body kick, isn't he? D-Rod.
Two decisions on his record. Split decision back in 2017, and then the decision loss to Dalby, who's just a different kind of fighter. You know, works from the outside, uses his range, his speed, and his kicks. Kevin Lee's gonna have to come into his range because he's not got the height or reach advantage, has he?
No, not at all.
What is he, 5'9 to 6'1?
It'd be interesting to see Lee.
Kevin Lee's got a reach advantage of 3 inches.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
He must have a massive back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Another wagon
good
back.
Good for pulling takedowns in.
Yeah, probably.
I think that's the way it's going.
It'd be interesting to see Kevin Lee at welterweight. Again.
Southpaw the orthodox as well. That lead leg, single legs there. Grab and snatch. Phew. Stipe style.
Oh, nice.
I think Kevin Lee's going to out-grapple him.
Mm.
I like Rodriguez. I think he might be too front foot heavy and too aggressive. And I think as long as Kevin Lee's in
shape...
just
another one. I can't imagine him being anything other than a mid-roster guy. Like, he's tough and he likes fighting. When you watch him fight, you're like, dude likes to fight. It's a good job he's in here because he's going to be doing it anyway.
For sure.
I just don't see him any more than like a mid-tier club man, innit?
No.
No disrespect.
No, he's going to be fun fights no matter who he's fighting, but he kind of fulfills that Mike Perry gap in the weight class now he's beating up Perry. You know, he's that guy. He, you know, he's, like I said, he's a skilled brawler.
Mm.
And when I say brawler, I'm not saying that necessarily as untidy, but the energy that comes with a brawler is let's have a fucking fight.
Yeah.
And like even just that pressure on Kevin Lee might force a level change out of him.
Yeah, okay.
Southpaw the orthodox, man. That lead leg's there for a snatch single all day.
Yeah, right. We'll go with Kevin Lee, shall we?
Well, you can choose whoever you want. I mean, you don't have to pick Kevin Lee if you think Rodriguez is going to
win. I think Kevin Lee not worrying about his weight will be, he's going to be a handful, isn't he?
He is. I think so.
Yeah, we'll lock Kevin Lee in.
Main event.
Mickey Turquoise and Brady Heinstad.
I will look forward to watching them.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, with these, it's more like, this is when I want to see them.
Mm.
And then I don't care about the tough ass. This is where I'm saying, oh, look what's come out of the tough ass this season. Right, from here on, let's see how they do. Do you know what I mean? That's sort of how I saw it.
Yeah. You know, right now, there are going to be some people listening to this podcast going, what the fuck? You don't watch The Ultimate Fighter? Oh my God, you call yourself fucking UFC fans. Listen, motherfucker.
Season 29, bro.
Fucking 29 of 29. Them. We were here.
For one.
On the fucking canvas before UFC 1. Right? Before Ultimate Fighter 1. Like, we remember watching that, like, the novelty of it. Like, oh shit, look at this. MMA is on TV.
It was wicked.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
20 fucking 9. Plus the other, you know, the variants with the names that didn't get numbers or whatever.
Tough 9 was funny, man.
It was.
Like, you know, when I went
subtitled.
On, when I went on Australia versus, I might have said this story before, Australia versus the UK, I went down to a guest spot of coaching the day they'd been caught with a phone in the house. Of course, the English had spoke to a neighbour, fucking jacked the phone off him and start calling people at home. They had to stand in front of Dana White on a Zoom stroke, Skype stroke, whatever was around that time, and sort of apologise for breaking the one rule that you're not allowed to break in a tough house. It was wicked. Of course, I'm British.
There are so many. No books, no writing materials, no music.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah, but you know, like MMA fighters are normally mentally really stable kind of group of people.
Right?
So if you take all that shit away from them, nothing's going to happen.
No.
Be fine.
But cameras and alcohol.
Yeah, have loads of it.
Fuck it. Why not?
It's like unlimited, right? You just say whatever you want and it just rolls up.
Oh, I remember speaking to Mac Danzig after he did it. And I like Mac because he's like a manifestation of a part of my character, like the fucking angry, I just can't be dealing with people part.
The pre-9 a.m.
Like, I'm not
Dan.
Like, yeah.
That
yeah,
one.
Yeah. I'm not like
Mac
that all the
pre-9
time.
Pre-9 a.m. down all the time.
Mac is
oh,
all the time.
Yeah.
No, Max, he's now he's gotten out of L.A. and he's found his little spot in the world. He is.
Found his
own. But I remember him coming out of the Ultimate Fighter house and he was not a very sociable person.
No.
And if you take away some of the things that Mac can, like,
stabilize himself,
get away from people with, you know what I mean? Let me focus on photography or whatever it was. They put him in this fucking house. He ended up ordering this hummingbird feeder and someone in the house trashed it. And he's just like, I remember him coming out of the house just ready to murder everybody.
I hate humans.
I thought to myself, there's no way I would put myself through that.
Nah, fuck that. No way.
I did the boat race. That was as Ultimate Fighter as you fucking like.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Nah.
Nah, no interest.
There's enough good fighting on around the world for me to not have to watch a shit show like that.
No. May as well just watch Roughhouse and Sensei when I get home. It's better anyway. It's way funnier. It's way funnier.
It's so much funnier.
Funnier.
And there's not been a drip of alcohol in it yet.
No. Josh does want to go to Magaluf, I think, for the thousandth episode.
Of course he does. He's a Darren Till 2 waiting to happen, isn't he?
No. Oh, what did they call it?
Mate,
oh, someone called him a discount Darren Till.
Of course they did.
Oh, fucking hell. He's looking for your address right now.
But
I'll fucking bang him.
Yeah. We're gonna have to make sure he's got a chaperone half the way through his career because he's gonna be a fucking terror otherwise.
He's fighting in 5 weeks. So we've got a load of guys. Josh.
I can't wait.
In 5 weeks.
I can't wait.
He's pretty much on weight, well, where he needs to be. He's causing a lot of problems in sparring. His wrestling and grappling, I don't know. I definitely don't learn at the rate he learns at, but he's learning at a rate that is quite incredible.
Yeah.
And he's giving people a lot of problems. He's been grappling for a long time.
Yeah.
And this is going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about it.
Me too.
I think everyone at the gym is excited about it. And we have a load of guys on.
Yeah. I was working with Kieran the other day.
Yeah.
Kieran looks very good. Super slick on the ground. You know, he's striking is evolving by the week as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing it in all the guys. Big improvements.
Yeah.
I can't wait. That was it October 2nd, isn't it?
Yeah, golden ticket.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to speak to them and make sure everybody on the channel can
connect. Hepworth's got an opponent. I think we found one today. Someone dropped out. I think we got another one for him.
Nice.
That'll be fun. Loads of people.
He's looking fucking strong.
He looks strong,
isn't he?
Yeah, very strong. He seems in a really settled place.
He's like consistent. This, he's there. He's at the gym every session. He's pushing hard.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the guys that sets the pace on the mat. There's no doubt about it.
Rasto's not on this card, is he? We're
trying to get him matched. Yeah. We're trying to get him matched.
This will be fascinating.
Oh, mate, he's going to wreck someone. Yeah. He's going to pick him up and slam him through the canvas.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell of a crush on him.
And Charlie, 14-year-old. Is he 15?
He's 15 now. I think he's just turned 15. Is he fighting that same weekend?
He's got a kickboxing fight.
When's, is that
maybe points fight? I'm not actually sure, but
it's the same weekend.
I think so.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Loads at me.
He's got to go back to school. he's been coming to spar. I think he's got one sparring left, or maybe two. But he's got to go back to school. But he's 15 and he's been at pro sparring with Rafael's for the last 6 weeks, pretty much 2 of 3 sessions, I'd say, every week.
Crazy.
There you go. There's your education.
Fuck. He's gonna be good. He's good now. He's gonna be dangerous in a few years.
Very cool.
Let's talk about this main event, shall we?
Okay.
I've already done a war room on it, so I'll hang back and finish my C4 and
of the tough one.
What?
What do you mean? Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, but this is tough, right? This is out the tough house.
Barbosa Chikadze.
Oh, sorry. Fucking hell. Well, he's late. It's like 10:10 at night.
Is it?
I thought he meant Brian. Because we haven't.
Honestly,
do you think it was morning?
I could tell you. I'm in here most of the day. I've got no idea what day it is outside.
Brian Battle and Gilbert Urbina, which we just glossed over.
We could talk about it if you want.
No, not really. I don't want to talk about it.
So Barbosa Chikadze then.
Yeah, wicked.
What do you reckon?
I've forgotten. Edson Barbosa's record. Not necessarily wins or losses, but who he's fought. What are you looking for?
I got my notes. Don't mind.
Oh.
I got the kickboxing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. No, it's note, like man. A list of the genuine elites year on year on year. He's fought genuine elites. It's quite incredible. When I looked at it, I was like, oh shit, I didn't even necessarily realise the calibre of who he's fought over the years. It's unbelievable. This is a great end to a relatively good card, but this will be some fireworks, won't it?
I am so excited for this. I really am. I think Barbosa will be smart to make an MMA fight, but I hope he doesn't. I hope they kickbox. Yeah.
In that last fight with Shane Burgos, which I love Shane Burgos, he landed eight.
That was weird, right?
8 really solid leg kicks in 45 seconds.
Fuck.
The first 45 seconds of that fight. He was chopping that hard. But yeah, that was a really weird delayed KO, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching that fight, man. It was...
He's just so slick. Fun. He's so slick. But we've had this conversation a lot. You've got Barbosa on one side who's very traditional in his Thai boxing style. He's very athletic, super quick. He's got a good skill set within the stance that he fights out of. Powerful low kick. He works really good hooks to the body, left and right. Mm. Obviously, we know his high kick and his spinning kick are lethal as well. Chikadze switches stance very, very comfortably, though. He's also not undersized as well. He's actually an inch taller than Barbosa. I thought Barbosa was going to look bigger and stronger than Chikadze, but having watched Chikadze's last couple of fights, I actually think he's really quite big for this division as well.
Oh, okay.
And I think he fights like a big man.
Yeah.
I think he fights like he knows his reach and knows how to use it.
Because he's a bit undercooked in MMA experience, isn't he? But by the time you layer on his kickboxing record, you know, he's had some good fights with Glory Promotion, who, you know, that will lead on. We can talk about that in a bit if you want. But by the time you sort of combine that together, he's got some good solid performance history.
Yeah, with 38 wins in kickboxing, I think, compared to 25 wins for Barbosa in kickboxing.
Yeah.
Interestingly, they've both got the same amount of knockouts in kickboxing.
Right.
So of 38 wins, Chikadze's got 22 knockouts. Yeah. On the flip side, Barbosa had 25 wins and knocked 22 of them out.
Wow.
So, I mean, his knockout stats are higher. But then you've got to say Chikadze's probably been fighting at a technically higher level.
In pure kickboxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something else I noticed that was interesting, though, because, like, you know, we talk about, we were discussing this yesterday, weren't we, Jamie? We talk about takedown offense. And you know, if you look at these stats, obviously, the stats that we're looking at for Barbosa and Chikadze are their stats based on their opposition, right? Mm-hmm. They're also based on, you know, a different period of time, and they're also not taking into account how their stats may change over time. And I'll tell you what I mean. Like, just as an example, Giga Chikadze, right? In his first fight, in which he lost to Austin Springer, he was taken down 4 times. In his next fight against Brandon Davis, he was taken down 3, but managed to get a takedown back. In his next fight, he was taken down 2x, and he's not been taken down since. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. It's like the stats are overall, they're not evolving as the person's evolving.
Yeah, yeah. So I can have a terrible start and my stats, you know, they're getting better, but it's still swayed because of that terrible start. But now no one's taking me down. I got it.
Exactly.
I get it now. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I know what you're saying.
And then on the flip side, Barbosa's got 78% takedown offense, which is a really high stat compared to Chikadze, who's 68, which is not too bad. But he's fought Khabib.
Yeah, right.
And then you go, okay, strikes absorbed per minute. Now Barbosa's up.
Yeah, an asterisk by that if you fight
like the little Viking.
Yeah. No, not that one.
Every time. Come on. I'm going to get it written down.
It's just my accent.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like I'm not called Ori, but everyone called me Ori for 4 years in Japan. It's just their accent. They don't have the L.
I was thinking about this, right? Strikes absorbed per minute. Like, how much of that was affected by the fight against Khabib?
Yeah.
Like, that must have massively impacted his stats.
That number might never happen again.
Right. What would his stats look like if he'd not faced Khabib?
Take it
like,
out.
I look at the stats and I'm going, okay, these are interesting stats, but, like, they've both got 44% striking accuracy.
Dude, like an acute stat, like the rolling average of the last 5, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, to give you, like, a picture of where you're at right now. Maybe even last 5 is a bit generous, could be last 3, you know, things change pretty fast in this game.
But then, as Jamie pointed out yesterday, it's also dependent on the opponent they're fighting. Like, the reason that he's not been taken down in his last 3 fights is because he's not fought anyone that's trying to take him down, or because the fights have not lasted that long, or you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's a problem with stats.
They're a fucking mess, mate.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
They can be useful, it depends how you handle them.
They can, yeah. If you've got a good body of stats like Max Holloway, you can see overall, there's a pattern. Yeah. Like Max Holloway's pattern is to improve his work rate and his accuracy as the fight goes on, which is, I've never seen that in any other stats.
But that's the battle in sports science. Sports scientists are always trying to give you more information about what's going on, but they need such a massive data set to actually be able to see what, you know, what is happening compared to. With small data sets, that's just acute spikes or, you know, acute troughs or whatever. But, you know, it's just tough for, you need big, big data sets. I mean, the PI has massive data sets.
Massive.
And that's probably why they're getting good stats out of there.
Yeah.
Just circling back. So, obviously, Giga's been on Fought for Glory a few times. We are going to stream. Glory 78 is coming up 4th of September.
I'm gonna pull up the
Piera and Glover did a wicked interview with Amy. She smashed it again. It's up on the site now. Go have a look. It was really cool. Glover was wicked. He was just had
like he's been on
loads of energy. He's been on the C4. He was translating for Piera, and it was just a really good interview. And there was loads of energy in it, and it was very interesting. Piera's coming. He's coming to smash, isn't he?
Yeah,
for sure. We're going to stream their Super Series, which is their prelims, which is tasty prelims, right?
I've got it pulled up here. There's some good fights on this. There's some good fights. The first couple of guys I don't know much about, but V and I are going to do a podcast on it, like a preview podcast.
Yeah, what are you calling it?
I mean...
You're calling it the Pigs Podcast.
Well, you're not the outlaw, are you?
No. That's because we were outlawed.
Oh, okay.
Nothing to do with me. No.
No, of course not.
Carry this shit. I can't believe you're subbing me out.
I'm not subbing you out. You
to
don't
be fair,
know
if you're
going to
go with a striking-based thing, I'm probably not the right person.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm barely the right person for an MMA one, let alone a pure striking one.
V's done all the research. He's done all the preview shows for us.
Well. I'm not watching that shit.
Oh, yeah, you are. You'll watch the Super Fight Series.
I'm definitely going to watch the Super Series. So we're going to stream this through Full Reptile.
Our YouTube channel. YouTube channel.
For free, obviously.
Ite Gershon's on it. Tiani Bastardi's on it. And the feature bout on the Super Fight Series before the pay-per-view starts, which is also stacked with heavyweights, is Donovan Vise against Yusri Belgari.
See what
I've
done
a war room on it. We need to bump that up on the channel. Go and check out the war room. This is a rematch. The first fight was absolute crazy. Dynamite. I can't wait for this rematch. And I can't wait for it to be streaming on our channel.
Yeah, man. Very exciting.
Love it. Very okay.
Cool. And it's not geo-blocked.
It's not.
So you can watch it wherever you are. Because Gloria.
But you can still use a VPN.
Yeah, not yet.
We'll give you a recommendation soon.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. We'll give you a solid recommendation.
So who have you got between these two then? Chikadze or Barbosa? Fuck.
Mate, I think
5 rounds as well.
Yeah, but I think a little bit Chikadze's undercooked a little bit.
Yeah.
But man, who Barbosa's fought and how long he's fought and the people he's damaged over the years, I just, you know, Giga's been quite vocal about wanting a name, hasn't he? He's coming in, you know, he's not, he's basically said he'll fight anyone. He's called everyone out he can get to. Only thing is, Barbosa's 36. This is going to be one of those fights that is, it's decided in milliseconds, isn't it? And things slow down a little bit as you're getting on a little bit. He's been knocked out a few times, hasn't he? He's, you know. But
yeah.
I think overall, I'd just edge with Barbosa.
Mm.
Yep, obviously by that face, you're going with Chikadze.
I am so on the fence with it. I really don't know.
It could be wicked fight.
It's gonna be because like the thing is, so like if Barbosa gets ahead early and he starts hammering low kicks into the lead leg of Chikadze, he might be able to limit him into one stance, which will probably be southpaw if he's been hammering that lead leg. Mm. And then that leaves the Giga kick open, which means Barbosa's got to be tight with his elbow the whole time.
Yeah.
I think there's always a way for Chikadze to get to Barbosa because he's got two stances. He can switch and he can poke and he can keep Barbosa on the back foot.
Hmm.
The one thing I mentioned this in the war room, there was a shot that Barbosa landed, and he landed it twice in the second round against Makan Omeyokani. It was a straight right hand. I want you to watch it again after the podcast. I'll show you. I honestly can't think of a punch I've seen that was faster.
Really?
It might be the because it was at such a distance that he threw it as well.
Yeah.
And you could even tell as soon as Makwin hit the floor, he was like, "Oh, what shit. The fuck with that?" It's like he'd been kicked by a horse.
Yeah. Right.
And he was like it just took him by surprise, and he nailed him twice with it in the second round. Like, although Barbosa's the one that's moving down, I think he's faster. I think he's faster by quite a bit. Like, Chikadze makes up for the fact that he doesn't have the same kind of speed because he's precise and he sets things up. I mean, you remember that kick that he used against Jamie Simmons? Mm-hmm. Hit him in the body, hurt him, cracked him in the side of the head.
Yeah.
Lovely setup. Really nice, simple striking with complex application. Just what we've been talking about in the gym. Barbosa's got that, but he's also got the speed and the horsepower with it. And honestly, that punch was just...
dynamite.
Like, yeah. There's fast punches in the sport, for sure. Pacquiao's got ridiculous hands.
Mm-hmm.
The speed that Barbosa moved at to land one right hand.
Yeah, right.
I watched it back probably 10 times in a row, and then I'm, like, watching it. And then he did it again a bit later in the round. I'm like,
oh, shit.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Quick.
So is that a long-winded way of saying not sure?
Yeah, I am not sure. I can't make a pick on this one. I really can't. I don't mind who wins. I'm not leaning one way or the other. I mean, they're ranked 9 and 10. Not much is going to shift in the rankings based on the win. Chikadze is one place lower than Barbosa, but I agree with what you're saying with Chikadze being undercooked as far as MMA experience, but maybe Barbosa's not the one to show that he's undercooked.
Because you think he'll just keep it standing, and if you're going to have a kickboxing fight, Chikadze's not undercooked.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I said in the war room is, you know, like Barbosa needs to make it an MMA fight.
Mm.
You know, he needs to close it. I think he's got faster hands. I think he's probably got better hands. I don't think he's got the opportunity to switch stances. So if he can take some space away from Chikadze, it's going to make less of a difference to him what stance he's in. If you can back him up against the fence, close him down into a boxing range, chop him with low kicks and keep clinching him, kneeing him, maybe trying to take him down. Like, Chikadze is going to look undercooked against someone like Movsaivluev.
Yeah, right.
Ilya Topuria might be real problems for him, and they're both ranked below Chikadze. But then if you look up the rankings, he's kind of blessed with a whole bunch of strikers. I mean, you know, Holloway, Ortega. Ortega's a striker unless he needs his jiu-jitsu. Rodriguez, Chan Sung-jun, Calvin Keita, Arnold Allen is a striker unless he needs his subs. Josh Emmett, same situation. Like, everybody above him is a striker.
Yeah, right. It's quite strange, really, when you think about it.
It's fucking really good for him because he can use the I'm not fighting anybody ranked lower than me when Ivlev calls him out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many times we've said, I don't know how that division is ridiculous that Ivlev is where he's at. You know?
Yeah.
He was 15th at not so long ago. Was it now 13?
He's 13 now. Yeah. He'll be rising super quick in this division. He's going to be problems for everybody. I think Chikadze's in a good spot here. I think this is a very winnable fight for him. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think it's a winnable one. And I think all the ones above him are because he's of the styles. This is a division that needs one of those Dagestani wrestlers to come in and fucking wreck shop and stir it up a bit. Because all these guys are strikers.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a cat amongst the pigeons.
I'm sure there's a few. I'm sure there's a few just waiting.
Not sure. Well, what's his name's been removed from the rankings now, hasn't he? To beat Magomed Sharapov.
Has he?
He's not there.
Yeah, right. Mm. Hamzat's back, isn't he?
Yeah, he's matched up.
I can't remember who. Can you remember who? Come on, Jamie. Oh, come on, Jamie.
Hang on.
I'll search him on here.
Search him on here. It's all right. I can fix this in a second.
We got Google. We Google. Sponsor us if you want Google.
Yeah. Where is it? Hamzat Chimaev. He is fighting, drum roll please, the Leech. Li Jingliang.
Ooh. That's a lot of different noises I just made there. That'll be fun.
Do you want to stroke your beard a bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Contemplate. Yeah. Anyway. That's for another time.
That is for another time. Yeah. We'll talk about that at a later date. That's on the Błachowicz Teixeira fight card, which is 267.
Title fight, right?
Yeah. I saw MVP today.
Oh, did you?
Mm. He's in great spirits for his fight. I'm very much excited for that.
Very cool.
Yeah. I want to try and get down for that.
Mm. Good stuff. Check out c4energy.com. Check out unboundmerino.com.
Hashtag not for Ollie.
Definitely not for Ollie. I'll put that on the post.
Hashtag not for Ollie.
Use Outlaw at the checkout with Unbound for 15% off.
See that jump out at me there?
See, you're all over the place today. It's like caffeine. And use...
It's 10:30.
Full Reptile at the checkout for C4
if
you're in the
US. Oh, hang on. He's still doing sponsor reads. You know, what?
Just talk over it. It's fine.
No, look.
It's literally the only thing I'm here for.
Go and check out C4. You get how much off?
30%.
It's 30% off.
You should do the reads.
I should do the read, shouldn't I?
Then I can just sit here.
What do we enter at checkout?
Full Reptile.
Full Reptile at checkout. What about Merino and Bound?
Outlaw.
Full Reptile. We should probably make this a bit consistent.
Well, I thought that, but then it's more confusing. They'll be like, why?
More did confusing
they just
for who?
No, because like I get shit wrong, so they'll be like, oh, maybe you just got it wrong. Maybe it's still the Outlaw. Maybe it's still Outlaw. See, I even fuck that up. Maybe it's Outlaw. Or should we just change them all to Full Reptile? I don't know. I don't even get sent stuff anymore.
Now he's sulking.
C4.
Enter Full Reptile at checkout for C4. Free shipping.
In the US, yes.
In the US.
Yeah.
Free shipping over $100.
Over $100, even in the UK.
Enter Outlaw at checkout.
Enter Outlaw. Boom. Done.
Hashtag not for Ollie.
No, you can do everything.
Catch you next time.
I'm out.
Thanks for joining us.
Boop.